Good afternoon. It's 12:06 and you're tuned to Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY 89.1 FM. We'd love for you to join today's conversation by giving us a call at 260-452-1185, emailing us at middaymatters@nipr.fm, or posting on our Facebook page. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and I'm joined in the studio this afternoon by my lovely partner in crime, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. And, you know, November is bringing a mega flurry of art centricity our way here in the Fortland, and we have a particularly mellifluous edition today, as if to prove it. Now first, it's a listen to the story of a most ambitious collaborative event for the Mimi Burns Band, and we have Mimi and Derek Reeves here to tell all. And then in the second segment, it's virtuoso pianist storyteller Wayne McEvely. He's in town for a special concert at Sweetwater Sound, and a partnership with WBOI and Public Radio and Sweetwater, and he's ready to discuss his various musical passions. But first, as we love to do, Sarah and I have a quick pick art tip for you. That's a sparkling gem among the treasure trove of art centricities happening this weekend. You really might want to consider. What's your pick, Sarah?
My pick is the production of the Will Rogers Follies from the University of St. Francis, and it's an admission of about $15 for the general public and $12 for seniors and children under the age of 10. Tonight, at 8 p.m., this is a Friday event, they'll be having their opening, and it's going to be playing a bunch throughout. There's Saturday, November 10th, if you can't make it tonight at 8 p.m., and Sunday, November 11th at 2 p.m., if you want to try and catch it this weekend. You can also go to their website and find out later times and dates. But again, this is at the University of St. Francis downtown at their Performing Arts Center, which is at 431 West Berry Street.
That does sound like such a fantastic event. And yeah, hope everybody enjoys it. I'm actually suggesting an out-of-town event this weekend, but it has three closer to home counterparts that are all being represented, performed this month by the Chords Vocal Ensemble, and they all represent the great sounds of the season. These guys are wonderful traveling troubadours, and a lot of folks love them. But Sunday, November 11th at 5, they have a special Veterans Day program at Bryant Wesleyan Church. Now, the catch is that's in Bryant, Indiana, and so folks in that region will totally enjoy it. But Saturday, November 17th, they have a gratitudinal one happening at the Brookside Church, and that's in Fort Wayne. And mm-hmm. Sunday, November 18th, they are doing a worship service in Columbia City mm-hmm. at the Oak Grove United Methodist Church, and then Sunday, November 18th, they're at the Peabody Retirement Community Chapel in North Manchester. So they're really doing a regional thing, and that is what they do. They sing just beautifully, and they are traveling troubadours. So hope folks can check them out, starting with a special Veterans Day program this very Sunday, November 11th, in Bryan. So there's plenty to do. Just hit the tip of the iceberg. I know that. And in the meantime, we can let the art centricity shine on as we welcome Mimi Burns and Derek Reeves to the show. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Julia.
Now, this is, okay, I'll ask one question. You can run. What in the musical world have you been up to?
Very nice.
I know everything mellifluous, and I can also probably say the punchline is tomorrow evening's concert at C2G Music Hall, and that's the collaboration I am speaking of. And Derek, why don't you begin by telling us what tomorrow night's concert consists of talent-wise?
Talent-wise, it's going to be a very deep pool. You've got the Mimi Burns Band and a string ensemble, and our featured guest, Emmy and Grammy-nominated recording artist, John Two Hawks. We're absolutely beside ourselves to be sharing the stage with this man. He's got a huge recorded output. He's Lakota Indian, but he's an international recording artist and very powerful performer. And it's quite an honor and a thrill to be sharing the stage with him, and it should be pretty... pretty
intense.
Amazing. Yeah, it should be really pretty intense.
It's such a fantastic venue as well. Now, we could actually then include the whole rest of the story with one question. What does a fantastic Celtic, eccentric Celtic rock group like the Mimi Burns Band and a very well-respected and internationally known Native American artist like John Two Hawks, and just for good measure, a whole beautiful Philharmonic-esque string quartet have in common that they could all be in concert at C2G Music Hall tomorrow evening.
It was like a tsunami. It all kind of came together.
Okay, and in a good way.
Yes, in a
and
really
actually,
good way.
That part of the story happened a couple of years ago, we might say, because the Mimi Burns Band embarked on quite a project, their own recording project.
Yes. About a year ago, I went to watch John at a concert mm-hmm. over in Ohio, and I was so taken listening to his music, I was crying. And so he gives the story behind the songs mm-hmm. for each time that he's speaking. And about the second song in, I was so moved that I was sitting next to this woman and I asked her for a napkin so that I could write what it was, mm-hmm. you know, and I was trying to find pieces of paper to write on. And so I took a pen out, and every time that he gave the title to one of his songs, I would write it down. So by the end of the concert, I had probably 17 words or 17 song titles.
And from John's concert.
From mm-hmm. John's concert. And then I went ahead and put all of that together, and I sat with Styler and that night, and we put together the song. And it's just so beautiful. And it's right outside of the range of what I would usually write. Like, usually I either write, my style that I write is either pop or Celtic. Mm-hmm. And this is more Native American feeling. And I called a friend of mine who's also Lakota, and I asked her how to say the words correctly because I'm singing in their language.
Mm-hmm.
It's Makawakan and Petawakan, sacred earth, sacred fire. And so I was so taken. And I asked my friend if she thought that it would be a good idea to contact John, and she said, well, why don't you just, you know, do some more work on the song first? And so, you know, because my version of, wow, you know, is that I'll take my iPhone and I'll put it up and I'll hit record. And then I want to call them. I know amazing. I want to call like the multi-platinum winning artist and say, I've got a song for you, you know.
But we worked through all of those mechanics and yes. He did hear your song.
He did hear the song.
And he was quite taken with your song.
And actually what was beautiful, he was just telling me, I met up with him for dinner a few nights ago. He was just coming through town on his way to another show, and he said that when he took the song Spirit Mountain and he took it into a studio to listen, he has like, I don't remember the number of flutes that he has, but I think mm-hmm. it's over 200, and he has one flute called Spirit Mountain, and he picked it up and it was in the same key that the song that we had written.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Isn't that cool?
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yes, it is.
And equally
amazing that, okay, from a nucleus, and it's a wonderful nucleus. Now, at that time, you were already working on the new Mimi Burns Band album.
Right.
And so way back then, you thought you'd combine a lot of musical forms and formats and styles and genres and extravagant.
I think that one of the things that makes us unique in the world music scene is that, especially in the Celtic scene, is that we have people from different nationalities who are within the band. So any reviews that you'll read about it, about this band in particular, will say, you know, we have like the Latin aspect, and Gonzalo is our keys player. He comes in from Spain and from London. And then Derek has all of the... Oh my goodness, Derek's just amazing, you know.
Yes, and he straddles so many genres. He's alive. Of course, he would be in the Mimi Burns band,
and then we have the Afro-Cuban rhythms mm-hmm. beneath, you know, that hold it together. And then our bass players are usually jazz players, and so to mix all that, and then Styler writes from, you know, everything from Iron Maiden feel to soft, like Enya type music, and then I write from the pop Celtic genre as well. So the plethora of and wealth of what we come by is so extreme that when it comes together, I just feel like you know, it was so cute. The other day at practice, I went to the back of the stage to listen to them play. I forgot the lyrics when I came back up to the front of the stage because I was so overcome listening to the music.
If folks are wondering exactly what fantastic concert we are speaking of, it's a concert that's happening tomorrow evening at C2G Music Hall, and it's a collaboration. A world of good music with the Mimi Burns Band. And if you have a question or a comment, this is your Midday Matters chance to ask away if you give us a call at 452-1185.
You can always post on our Facebook page or send us an email at middaymatters@nipr.fm. And before we get too much further, I should say that support for Midday Matters on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Jobs may change, retirement dreams don't have to. More information at Reinbold and Anderson on our homepage at nipr.fm. And support is also provided by the Lutheran Hospital Transplant Center. Since 1985, Lutheran surgeons have performed more than 275 heart transplants in Fort Wayne. Information at lutheranhealth.net.
Thank you, Sarah. Now, question for Derek. I know that you, as into putting the music together for this concert, which is going to be a fantastic one, and factoring in all of the coordinates that Mimi just described, which are literally all over the globe, at some point or other, we decided we might need a little more classical strings thrown in the mix. So how did your process go where you continued to build on this grouping and adding parts like that?
Sure. Well, you know, I'm always kind of hearing voices in my head, you know, the musical voices,
we can
fortunately
medicate you for that.
Yeah. Hasn't worked so far. And so it was actually a pretty organic process by which I was able to put down some things, because it's pretty much voicings, I guess would be more accurate, that I'd been hearing anyway, you know. So not all of the songs are going to have the string section, but some of the ones, some of the, I guess the more symphonic in nature songs, or some of the softer ones that are a little bit less rock and roll oriented, you know, where that would lend themselves well to the vocal textures, but also the flute.
I think that any production, recorded or live, by the Mimi Burns Band is so lush, and it is like a painting done in lush, glorious, bold strokes. And so you're just adding maybe another color, maybe another texture, and that's just fantastic. And speaking of the colors and the textures that we're going to hear, you brought a piece of John Tuhok's music just to get a little flavor for that. Could
Face
we
the storm.
Maybe hear a little bit of that right now?
All right, let's give a listen to it right now on WBOI's Midday Matters on 89.1 FM.
Thank you.
What a lovely sound, and I truly can't wait to hear it at the included in the whole extravagant event tomorrow evening at C2G Music Hall. And speaking of that, as I understand, with the Mimi Burns Band and all your wonderful cast of characters, and that's Derek and Gonzalo Carrera, who is with us, and he's a silent member at the studio today, and we have Stephen on guitar, and we have Will Brown, of course, percussion, Brian Nellums and drums, and Mimi Burns in the vocal, and we have the strings and every other wonderful thing happening. You will be actually playing four of your own pieces. And yes. then what else? How do the collaborations work?
John's going to join us on four songs of our music, and okay. then the band will be joining John on two of his songs, and then he will be closing out the night, and then we have something delicious for the end as well.
A total surprise.
Yes.
And so that's fantastic. And how will you get together and, you know, the mechanics like practicing? Just going to zen it, or will you have
close
practice
to zen.
Time?
On
you?
Close to zen. Yeah. We'll be flying over the Pacific and kind of landing in the Zen territory on Saturday. That's the idea. We're going to pull it all together on Saturday. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty about this group, you know, is like Gonzalo just got here, flew in on Tuesday, and he hadn't slept in like almost a day, flew in to practice. And then the same thing for Saturday. John's just pulling into practice with the people folks from the Philharmonic. And so that's just kind of how we roll.
Well, you've given a few more secrets away then, but they are wonderful because you have quite a reputation in town for, it's a nice treasure, I think, musically speaking, that we have our own Celtic rock band, and an extravagant and wonderful, fun one indeed, and certainly diverse in every kind of musical style, as you said. And okay. now this collaboration at C2G Music Hall is going to be fantastic. Now, we would like to give folks time to listen to a piece of music that's quite pertinent and quite representative of the whole feel of things from your new album, and that's how this whole folk tale, or at least a lot of it, began here on Midday Matters. And also, we'd like to tell folks exactly how they can find the concert, find more information, find more about you and your music and everything else. So let's have a recap. Derek, when is this concert?
This concert is tomorrow, Saturday the 10th. At Come to Go, C2G Music Hall at 8:00 p.m. Doors open at 7:30. Tickets, I think, are
available at the door.
Tickets are available at the door.
And what if folks, of course, if they're at the concert and they will enjoy it and they could get everybody's recordings there, otherwise, how can they find copies of your music and more about the Mimi Burns Band?
www.mimiburns.com, or they can find us on Facebook, Mimi Burns Band.
The album's also at all the Wooden Nickel stores.
Yes.
And yes, great
and
source.
Online and at iTunes.
Great resource. Online. Okay, mm-hmm. And the album's name is?
Brave Journey.
And it is, and it's a wonderful
it
journey.
It is a brave journey.
And a most mellifluous one yes. at that. We would like to thank you guys so much for joining us
thank
for this.
For
thank you so much for
this,
having us, Julie.
Wonderful, wonderful bit of art centricity. And Sarah's going to explain next in our itinerary.
Well, next we're going to be we're going to hear a little bit more from Mimi Burns, and as you can already hear in the background a little bit, and then we're going to be transitioning into the Harriet Parrish Performance Studio, Julia and I, where we're going to be listening to Wayne McEvely, who is going to be playing at the Sweetwater Soundstage tomorrow as part of an event going on here at NIPR. So,
see if I can actually say this. The mellifluosity is never ending today.
No, it just keeps
it's
going.
Really good. It's a just, total Scrabble moment.
Just
you
when
just
you think
won.
It stops, it keeps going. All right, so we're going to hear a little bit more music, and then we'll have a short break for the news, and next time you hear, Julia and I will be on the other side. With not that other side, with Wayne McEvely here on WBOI 89.1 FM.
gypsy dance. Spirits rocking into the night.
After a hectic week, get ready for the weekend with the Friday Vibe on WBOI. Hi, I'm Bruce Reidenbach. Join me and Bill Forsyth for the jazz you won't hear anyplace else in Northeast Indiana. Friday nights at 7 on your home for NPR News and Jazz, 89.1 FM, HD Channel 1, WBOI, Fort Wayne.
Good afternoon, I'm Sean Beter with WBOI News. One of incoming Governor Mike Pence's toughest decisions will also be his earliest as he decides whether Indiana should implement a health insurance exchange. President Barack Obama's re-election means efforts to repeal the federal health care law are all but dead, and Indiana must inform the Department of Health and Human Services by next Friday whether it will implement a state-run exchange, place residents in a federal exchange, or approve a hybrid system. Pence said Wednesday he opposed a state-run exchange, but has not said whether residents will have to buy into the federal plan. Indiana healthcare experts say there is some room for movement from the new administration as it settles in. Indiana Chamber of Commerce Executive Mike Ripley also expects the legislature to weigh in. Meanwhile, House Democrats have chosen a pair of Northern Indiana representatives to lead their rebuilding after their poor showing in Tuesday's elections. Democratic lawmakers voted Thursday to elect Michigan City Representative Scott Pilath as their new leader and Hammond Representative Linda Lawson their second in command. Republicans on Tuesday won a supermajority in the House that gives them enough votes to continue business if Democrats walk out like they have under former Minority Leader Pat Bauer. House Republicans used the 2011 walkout over right to work and teacher pay to great effect in the 2012 races, sending out mailers showing Bauer leading people onto a bus and arguing Democrats refuse to do their jobs. House Republicans are bringing back Brian Bosma as Speaker, and Senate Republicans re-elected Senate President Pro Tem David Long. And a police officer from a northeastern Indiana town who was shot in the face 11 months ago while responding to a call is back to work. 48-year-old Waterloo Deputy Marshal Steve Brady returned to work this week. He was shot on December 15th by a man fatally shot by police about 3 hours later after pointing a gun at officers. Brady was shot just below the left eye socket and the bullet exited behind his right ear. He says he struggled at times with his equilibrium, hearing, and vision, and wondered at times if he'd ever be able to return to police work. Brady says he missed his job, and he's happy to be back at work. You're listening to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM.
Welcome back to Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOI. The time is 12:32, and you're listening to Midday Matters right here at WBOI. Julia and I are really excited for this next segment. I'm going to hand it over to switch gears.
And yes, Sarah, thank you. We are still staying musical, but on this Friday Art-Centric adventure, we're taking an equally imaginative turn with our next guest, and it's really an honor to welcome pianist, storyteller extraordinaire, Wayne McEvely, to our fair Fortland, quite literally, and our Midday Matters studio.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
How in the world are you, and how are you jet-lagged?
No, it's just a short flight. It's just a matter of getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to,
well, there is
in Oklahoma City to be here.
Is
and then, of course, there's the traffic in Fort Wayne with the really interesting signage. You know, so Goshen Road, where's the street sign? Well, I think we passed it.
We have been compared only by our signage, not by our ancient origins, to London and other crazy towns for doing the traffic signs. So sorry, and identification. Sorry for that.
I love being here.
Well, you made it here, and in fact, we're so happy to have you in our fair city, and that's because you are sharing your love of music and musical history and storytelling and everything musical tomorrow at a special event at Sweetwater Sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard such great things about Sweetwater Sound. I'm really looking forward to playing there.
Mm-hmm. They are certainly our friends, and we are happy to partner on so many things because they're all about music and sharing it with the community in a commercial way, of course, and we're all about spreading all of the music and wonderful opportunities that people like you present when you do come into town with your own passions and want to share it. And sharing music's not a new thing to you, it sounds like.
73 years I've been sharing my music with others.
Okay, so why?
First of all, I think it's about communication, and it is about storytelling. And music, indeed, is a universal language. It's mm-hmm. very commonly stated. But what I like to have people reflect on is it's a language of extreme specificity. And the little children give me really great examples. I love playing my music for children. For the event tomorrow at Sweetwater, I encourage you to bring your children to this event, because they are living on a plane of consciousness that is really, truly, primally related to the messages that Bach and Mozart especially are sending out. They can understand it in a way that adults sometimes do not, because with the process of education, the adult mind becomes somewhat atrophied into boxes in which things are this way or that way, and you've already made up your mind. Whereas the child is receptive, and I think that Mozart's music is especially appropriate for this age. So I really encourage you to bring your children. I'm going to be playing Bach and Mozart, and a story about Bach. I tell the children that music tells a story. Well, how can that be? Because there are no words to the music you're going to hear. It's piano music. So consider. So I ask a kindergarten class, is that happy music or sad music? And the response totally is happy. I'm going to change one thing, I then say to them, just a tiny little change. A kindergarten child pipes up at that time and just yells out, those mice are dead. So I wonder, you know, this is something that happened, and it was a revelation to me. This is the best example I can think of as to how does music tell a story. That child knew, kindergarten, no training, no differential between major and minor, just knew. This is a sad story all of a sudden. And then going on, you simply invite them to consider that Mozart is a man of many happy stories. Most of his sonatas, of which he wrote 17, they're very happy. So I ask them to name me a number from 1 to 17. So we'll be in kindergarten now. Please name me a number from 1 to 17.
Six.
Six. Oh, great.
That's what I was going to pick.
Happy or sad? And I ask them just to answer. You don't have to raise your hand. Now, is that happy or sad?
It's happy.
It's very happy. Another number.
Two.
Two. I love two. There he is, Mozart, the happy child, walking down the street, very happy. No matter what is happening in his life, for his entire life, all that he went through, all the disappointments, all the downs, the music is consistent. It is consistent. So, of the seven, of the 17 sonatas, since we don't have time to go through them all,
darn,
they're almost all extraordinarily happy. There are two exceptions, actually.
Why do you think that would be, by the way, while we have you here?
Number 8. And I asked them to supply me with words for that. It's much beyond sad. It's actually anguished. It's the death of his mother occurred when they were in Paris together. He was 23. He wrote that sonata. It was probably the only time in Mozart's entire career that he allows his music to express personal grief. Now, Beethoven's a master at doing the opposite. You know, he is just, he was typecast to compose the piece that I'm going to play of his tomorrow. It's the Pathetique. Mm-hmm. He actually named it the Pathetique, unlike the Moonlight, which he, mm-hmm. if you ask Beethoven, play your Moonlight sonata, he wouldn't know what you're talking about, but the Pathetique. It is the sense of drama that Beethoven treats us to. You know, the whole thing is a journey. Whereas Bach and Mozart, they're very well established in the world view that they have adopted. And they're very comfortable there, whereas Beethoven is always seeking. So it's an entirely different story. And then when you come to Chopin, well, he's the first composer to have the entire huge keyboard mm-hmm. that we now have. So he has the entire orchestra. But it's interesting to me that even in the composers who were before, Mozart, for instance, tiny little pianos, very small sound, and yet he understood the capacity of the instrument for dramatizing. So I think that if you'll begin with his first sonata, which has this in it. It's so beautiful if you just remind yourself as a pianist that this is like opera. This is a result of Mozart's having grown up. He was 17 when he wrote his first piano sonata, but he had heard all the Italian opera. And so it's not a matter of just fingering these notes. It's a matter you recreate what a great singer does on stage. It's mm-hmm. all about drama. So although Mozart is superficially looked at, he's very happy. There's so much drama. There's so much beauty. You know.
I would like to remind our listeners, as we all are getting swept away by this wonderful storytelling by Wayne McEvely, this is Midday Matters, Friday Art Centric. It's very art centric, and we are talking with Wayne as he's joined us here in Fort Wayne, ready to have a concert tomorrow evening and share just such music and musical stories at the concert. Now, back to, well, actually, you're feeling the passion that some of the fantastic composers like Mozart and Chopin and Beethoven. Obviously, it affects you. Obviously, it comes through you. How are you? Is that why you're so well able to tell us the story with your fingers on the piano as well as your words?
Let's see. It's really rooted. It's rooted in love of sound, of sound and what can be conveyed by sound. Sound is a primal language of its own. So that the way you touch passages in a piano piece, the way you do it is going to convey something different than if you did it in another way. There's a very famous passage in a Chopin waltz I'm going to close the program with tomorrow. Which is usually treated that way, but then I thought, well, you know, Chopin spent so much of his time going to the Paris Opera. Mm-hmm. And so I construe this as a coloratura soprano. You know, it's like it's very... So it has, anyway, you can hear all this tomorrow at Sweetwater Sound.
Yes.
At 4 o'clock.
And it's fascinating, always having the best seat in the house when we're here in the performance studio. It's fantastic to get to watch you play, as folks will, and then, of course, listen to your words and listen to your music, and it's all one. That's a particular gift that you have, I think. And how far do you think you can take the world with music and the story about music, you know, just in an understanding passion, understanding love, understanding the stories that the musicians told with their music. What do you think it brings people in the 21st century as they sit hearing your story and your music?
I think the music itself will take people to places which are comforting, which are instructive, which are inspiring, and they will receive messages, especially from the master composers, and especially from those in the earlier days, Mozart, Bach. It is such a pure level of messaging that the universe is a good place. It is a place where joy can abide. The children, I always bring everything back to Mozart and the children in the schools, young children, mm-hmm. because they truly are on his wavelength, and they get so much from it, and they do so much better with him as a friend in their life. And if I can instill in a young child a love of Mozart, then I know I've done something worth doing, and that this will not, they won't let go of it, mm-hmm. because it's something that, you know, so.
You really introduce kids to the man, his music, the feelings of it then with your concerts, and Free Concerts is kind of your middle name, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm very impressed from the time I have been a child by the free public library. And I truly believe that anything that is a divine treasure should be free. It should be free. So there's always somebody who has to pay the bills. But to the general public, there should be no exclusions. I just visited the Baltimore Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. And they have a wonderful collection of Matisse, and it is all absolutely free. These treasures are there, so no one is barred because they can't afford the experience of going in and seeing these spiritual treasures, because they are the entire content of great art is a spiritual content. It is spirited, and it's life-giving, and it's inspiring. All those words.
And more. And yes, you form your words as well as your music very, very nicely, and that's a gift. I would also like to remind our listeners that even as we speak here on Midday Matters Friday Art Centric with Wayne McEvely, we are being taped by the Access Fort Wayne crew from our own beloved Allen County Public Library, which is a good old Carnegie Library.
Great.
And this will be shown tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock on Access Channels, Comcast Channel 57 and
Frontier 27.
And so you can see and hear exactly what we are experiencing today and what a wonderful experience it is. Also, folks, lucky folks that choose to go to the Sweetwater Performance Theater tomorrow afternoon at 4 will be able to enjoy a whole concert with Wayne McEvely and hear music and more folk tales, it sounds like, or more. I call them folk tales because it is the music. It's the music of the lives. As as you point out so nicely, it's friends just waiting for you to meet. And
it is. It is. Thank you.
And what other? I know that I got your best friend list going right there. What are some of the other composers or styles of even within your classical genre that you like, Wayne?
I like all sorts of music, actually, as long as it's musical. And that's very difficult for anybody else to say what is musical to me, what is musical to you. But I like the tunes that I hear in pop music and in country music and in the Grateful Dead, like... their St. Stephen's song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's lovely. It's like a Chopin nocturne. It always reminds me of this. Of Chopin. So here's the program. I'm going to run down the program for you.
I would hope so, without any spoilers, of course.
If you would just... accept our invitation and be at Sweetwater Sound tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, and it's free, and please bring your children. The program opens with Bach. And when Bach composed this, he had been out of town and returned to his home to find that his wife had died and left him a single dad with five children. So he made this piece of music happen, which had never been done before, and it has really never been done since. He composed a piece of music in all the 12 tones. And so I'm going to be playing the first of those. And then that's going to be followed by the Mozart Turkish March. Just so pop that it was used as a pivotal music in Dumb and Dumber, the movie.
Well, there's
yes. Yes. And this was also the perfect musical choice for a kitty litter commercial on television.
Very good company.
So Mozart would have loved that, and so would have his mother. So I know that. So after that, we're going to go to a Mozart. Opening movement of the fourth sonata, very rare because it's a slow movement. Beethoven picks things up from Mozart. Everybody has picked things up from everybody else along the way. So Beethoven also has a very famous piano sonata that begins with a slow movement. Now, I'm not playing that tomorrow, but it sure makes me want to play it tomorrow.
I understand.
And then a ballad, the first ballade to do its Frenchified version by Chopin. It tells a story. I played this for a fourth grade group of children at the Art Museum in Oklahoma City and asked them what the music said to them. And one fourth grade girl said, "Oh, it evoked the entire range of emotions." No one could say it better. Shakespeare could say it better, you know.
He could try.
He says, what he says, that music again, it hath a dying fall. And just that simple gesture of, and then Chopin plays on that gesture. I think it's actually all about emotion. It's all about the conveyance of stories through emotion. It's not simply a text. It's a living experience. And
I certainly think you're right, and I think that your gift, not only as a wonderful pianist, but to be able to understand that and then convey it, especially to children. And that's kind of, I'd like to ask you, when did it occur to you that you could?
Over a period of many years, when I was a child, I was playing Mozart for children. You know, like they were having, I just went back and visited my public elementary school. It's been a long time. So one of the exercises that the teachers gave the children was to imagine what life must have been like back in Linwood, Pennsylvania, elementary school, when Mr. McEvely was here as a student. So some of them thought, well, I guess people got about by horse and buggy. It was fun. But I was there because I had given the school a set of my complete Mozart piano sonatas for each and every grade in the each and every classroom in the school, which is a program that I've been doing formally since 1974, which I started in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and there are now schools all over the nation which have one of my Mozart 5 CD sets in place. So this became the Mozart Goes to School process. And in 2000, I realized, well, I'm not going to be on the planet forever. You know, in another 30 years, I'm going to be 105. So, you know, you have to really plan for these contingencies.
I see. So,
in 2000, I recorded them. So no problem. If I'm not on the planet, the sonatas still are.
That's a great... Well, first of all, I hope that you are still on the planet. If anybody might be, I'd put my at least a quarter bet on you. But in the meantime, yes, what a thing to share. And also that you know it's right there where it's supposed to be doing the good that it does. It has to be very satisfying for you.
Right. And communities have to get behind the effort in order for it really to succeed. In California, I was really fortunate to be in the Coachella Valley, which is Palm Springs, Palm Desert, mm-hmm. and many communities which are very highly unprivileged, mm-hmm. like Indio and Coachella. Things are looking up for Coachella because of the Coachella Music Festival and the casinos and Donald Trump and everybody's moving into Coachella now.
At least there's music there, as you said.
Yeah. So it just really does me a lot of, I get a lot of good energy from just contemplating the fact that there are children in Mecca, California, which is a near neighbor of Indio, who are listening to Mozart on a daily basis after all these years. CDs are still spinning in their classrooms and still doing their good work. The entire school system was behind this effort there, and banks and car dealerships and mom-and-pop operations, print shops, candy stores.
It's music is what life sounds like. That is the point. And I'm quoting Olson, Eric Olson, on that one, a performer. But if you look right. that quote up in the dictionary, your face is going to be there, because I really think that that is what you share with the world. And I know that we're about running out of time.
We are. So shall we give the who, what, when, where one
yes.
more time,
and
Wayne?
Thank you.
And thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you.
We're going to be hearing more from Wayne McEvely tomorrow at the Sweetwater Sound Performance Studio stage at 4 p.m. And those details are on our website at nipr.fm, where you can find out more about the event tomorrow. But that's tomorrow at 4 p.m. at Sweetwater Sound. And this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1, streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne. This episode of Midday Matters will be shown on Comcast 57 and Frontier 27 tomorrow at 4 p.m. And so you can tune in there and actually see Wayne and his wonderful piano as well. This episode of Midday Matters will be podcasted and available on our website at nipr.fm. Until then, Julia and I will be back same time, same place next week at noon for more Friday-centric Midday Matters. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.